The coffee arrived at the exact moment I stopped looking for it. I had walked into Cup and Couch Cafe and Roastery expecting to order quickly and leave, but the barista was patient with my hesitant Arabic, and the room itself seemed to slow me down. The place is tucked in Alhambra, not far from the Corniche, and it has that particular calm that comes from good lighting and the smell of freshly ground beans. I sat by the window with a kawa, the light cardamom spice brew they serve here, and watched the street outside move at the pace of a summer afternoon. It was about 10 reals for the cup, maybe a little more, and worth every halala for the way it forced me to sit still. I've been in Jeddah for 5 days now, and I have learned that the city does not give itself to you in daylight. The sun is a presence here, a weight that presses down on the pavement and turns the air into something you have to push through. So the real Jeddah begins after 8 in the evening, when the families come out to the Corniche and the cafes fill with a low murmur of conversation. I have been moving to that rhythm all week, running errands in the morning, hiding from the heat in the middle of the day, and then emerging at dusk like everyone else. This is my last night before I drive up into the Sarawat Mountains, and I wanted to spend it the way Jeddah does, at its own pace. I had planned to go straight back to the apartment and pack, but the coffee was good and the chair was comfortable, and I found myself thinking about the week behind me. The first day was all paperwork, the Akama, the SIM card, the bank account, and I remember standing outside the bank with my new Mata card in my hand, feeling like I had accomplished something that should have taken weeks. The second day was Al Balad, the old town, and I walked through the coral stone streets marveling at the Rawasheen, the wooden lattice balconies that jut out from the buildings like eyebrows over old eyes. By the third day, I had learned to read the cues, the way a line outside a government office moves and bursts, and I had found the street food in Al Balad that I would tell every visitor about. The mutabak that costs about 14 rials for the cheese version and fills you better than any fast food. The barista brought me a small glass of water, and I realized I had been staring at the same page of my notebook for a while. I had come to Cup and Couch to plan the drive to Aba, to trace the route up through the Sauda Mountains and decide where to stop, but the planning had dissolved into the simple pleasure of sitting. I think that is what Jeddah does to you. It teaches you that some things cannot be hurried, and that the wait is not wasted time. It is a lesson I have learned slowly, in the queues and the cafes and the long evenings on the Corniche, and it is a lesson I will try to keep with me as I climb into the hills. I paid for my coffee and stepped out into the heat, which hit me like a warm blanket even in the early evening. The sun was low, but the air was still heavy, and I walked the short distance to my car with the awareness of a person who has learned to move calmly in this climate. I had one errand left before the night began, and it was the kind of errand that had become familiar. A quick stop at a bank branch to sort out a small issue with an international transfer. The staff at Riyadh Bank had been helpful all week, patient with my questions, and I had grown used to the way banking here happens with a cup of tea often being offered while you wait. The issue took only a few minutes, and I walked out with the knowledge that my finances were in order for the trip ahead. As I drove towards Al Balad, the city was shifting into its nighttime life. The Corniche Road was filling with cars, and the families were laying out picnic rugs on the grass, and the lights of the King Fahd Fountain were beginning to compete with the last of the daylight. I had seen the fountain twice already this week from different angles, and each time I had found myself watching it for longer than I meant to. It is the tallest fountain in the world, they say, and it shoots water hundreds of meters into the air, and at night, it looks like a silver thread stitching the sky to the sea. I was not going to stop tonight, but I knew I would miss that view. I found a parking spot near the edge of Al Balad and walked into the old streets, where the day's heat lingered between the tall coral buildings. There is a particular quality to the air in the old town, a mix of salt and stone and spice, and it carries you back in time even when the modern world is just outside the gates. Tonight the streets were busier than I had seen them, and I soon realized why. The Jeddah Season Chess Championship is being played here at Culture Square, and the matches run over 7 rounds through mid-August. I had read about it somewhere, the kind of event that happens in the summer when the city looks for things to do after sunset, and I thought it would be worth a look. I am not a chess player, not really, but there is something compelling about watching people think. The players sat across from each other at small tables, their eyes on the boards, their hands moving pieces with a deliberateness that seemed to slow the whole square down. The spectators were quiet, respectful, and I stood at the back, not understanding the game, but understanding the tension. The top prize is 20,000 reals, which is a significant sum, but I suspect most of these players are not here for the money. They are here for the concentration, the purity of it, the way the board becomes the world. I wandered from the chess square into the alleys that wind behind the Nassif house, and the smell of food drew me towards a stall I had not noticed before. A man was cooking mutabak on a large griddle, folding the paper-thin dough over spiced meat and cheese, and the sound of the oil sizzling was the soundtrack of the old town. I ordered one, the meat version, 16 reals, and ate it standing by the stall, the pastry crisp and the filling hot. And I thought that this is what a city tastes like when it has been a port for 1,000 years. Spices from India and Africa, techniques from the Hejaz, and a hunger that is always there after sunset. I had planned to walk to the Corniche one last time, to sit on a bench and watch the waves and let the humidity settle into my skin, but as I finished the mutabak, I felt a pull towards home instead. The apartment I am renting is a modest one-bedroom in Ashadi, about 2,500 reals a month, and it is the first place I have called mine in this country. I wanted to pack, yes, but I also wanted to sit in it for a while, to watch the lights of the city through the window, and think about what it means to be leaving it for the mountains tomorrow. The drive back to Ashadi was short, and the streets were a river of red taillights, and I found a spot under the building and took the stairs because the lift was slow. The apartment was cool, and the windows were open to the sound of the city below, the distant hum of traffic and the occasional siren and the laughter of people on the street. I made a cup of tea with a kettle I had bought on the second day, the kind that costs about 30 reals and does the job, and I sat on the floor with my map spread out in front of me. The route to Aba is not a simple straight line. It climbs from the coastal plain up through the Sarawat Mountains, and it takes you through landscapes that are hard to picture when you are standing in the heat of Jeddah. The highlands are cooler, mistier, and I have been told that the summer there feels like a different season altogether. I traced the road with my finger, the towns I might pass, the valleys I might stop in, and I felt the familiar excitement of a journey starting. But underneath, it was a quieter feeling, the sense of having made a home, however temporary, in a city that had been a gate to the sacred for over 1,000 years. I closed the map and stood up, and the tea had gone cold in the cup. The apartment was quiet, and the city outside was still stirring, and I knew I would not sleep for a while. I walked to the window and looked out at the lights, the towers of Jeddah, the dark line of the sea beyond them, and I tried to memorize the view. Tomorrow the road would take me up into the mountains, but tonight I wanted to hold on to this, the first city that had stepped out of the heat and taken my hand. I went to bed late, and my dreams were full of chess pieces and paper-thin dough, and when I woke in the morning, the sun was already fierce, and the city was already at its day-long work. I packed slowly, the way you do when you want to linger, and I checked the apartment one last time before locking the door. The car was loaded and the GPS was set for Aba, and I turned the engine on and let the air conditioning blow away the last of the night. Jeddah had been a door and I had walked through it, and now I was moving deeper into a country I was only beginning to understand. As I drove out of the city, the sea was on my left and the mountains were waiting ahead, and I felt the particular loneliness and freedom of a road journey. I passed the Corniche one last time, the fountain invisible in the daylight, but the walkways full of people who had already started their day, and I thought about the many ways a city can hold you. Jeddah had held me gently, in its queues and its coffees and its chess squares, and I knew that I would come back to it, in this same season, when the summer heat was a memory and the mountains had given me their own lessons. The road was long, and I was in no hurry, and the coffee was waiting somewhere up ahead. I have learned in 5 days that Jeddah is a city of thresholds. It is the gate to Mecca, the port that welcomed pilgrims for centuries, the place where the desert first meets the sea. To arrive here is to stand at a beginning, and to leave is to carry its calm with you. I drove with the windows up and the music low, and I felt the weight of everything I had done this week. The paperwork, the errands, the streets walked, and the food eaten settle into me like a stone in a stream. The mountains were calling, and I was ready to listen. I stopped for fuel just past the city limits, and the station was busy with morning travelers, and I bought a bottle of water and a coffee that tasted of nothing in particular. The attendant wished me a safe journey, and I thanked him, and I stood for a moment in the shadow of the canopy, looking back at the way the city rose behind me, white and gold against the blue. Then I got back in the car, and I drove on, and I did not look back again because the road ahead was enough.